A couple of Sundays ago, anybody remember what we talked about, what I preached on? Beginning of May. Yes, Lydia, do you remember? The what, sorry? Yes, salt and light. That was part of it, yes. How we are called to be the light, the salt of the earth, right? What else did we talk about? The mission, right? The Great Commission. How Christ called us to do what?
Go.
Go, that's right. Go and make disciples of what? Of all nations. And do what?
Baptize
them. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them. These new disciples to do what? Obey the commands that Christ has given. And at the end, Jesus promises what?
Everything.
He says, be sure of this, that I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. And we talked about how this commission still applies to us as modern-day disciples. We talked about how that looks in our lives as being the salt and the light of the world. And in the end, we conclude that we are not on mission alone, right? That's why it's called co-mission. We are on this mission together as a church, and more importantly, together with Christ, with God, and how He empowers us to do that. And I mentioned that we're going to be diving into looking at the Holy Spirit as we approach Pentecost Sunday. What happened on Pentecost? We know that the fulfillment of the coming of the Holy Spirit was given to empower them to live for God, but also to fulfill the Great Commission. And today I want to start off with the very basic thing of knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Who the Holy Spirit is. Understanding who and then what the Holy Spirit is essential for us to walk in the Spirit. Amen? So there are difficulties in understanding the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit can be kind of shrouded in the mystery within the church. I'm sure many of us would say that compared to God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, it is difficult to understand or relate who the Holy Spirit is. And there's a few reasons that I've kind of jotted down why this may be difficult for us to understand who the Spirit is. First off, He is not like us, right? There's something easier about understanding God as our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ as His Son. But the Holy Spirit is rightfully referred to as Spirit. And we're flesh and blood. So it can be difficult for us to understand how we relate to the Spirit and how the Spirit relates to us. It's difficult to kind of grasp and comprehend what this means. And thankfully, God reveals Himself to us through His Word in ways that help us to understand this. Secondly, we're influenced by other groups and their teaching and understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. This varied teaching on the Holy Spirit can cause confusion and misunderstanding, especially when that teaching is unhealthy or unbiblical. Some movements are so emphasized on the Spirit moving and working that any spiritual move is accepted, even when it's not of the Holy Spirit. And then when we see them collapse, we learn on this unhealthy truth of what was lying underneath. And in turn, this can cause us to underemphasize how the Spirit works in our lives, even to the point in limiting our own understanding on who the Spirit is and what He does. You could say we almost develop this sense of paranoia, if you will. Third, we brush aside and treat the Holy Spirit as a third wheel. When we read the Bible, our preconceptions may cause us to miss things about the Holy Spirit. For instance, whenever you read the word God in the Bible, how often is it that we think about the Father or the Son and not the Holy Spirit in the context of God? However, there are many times in both the Old and New Testament scriptures that the word God refers to all three individual members of the Godhead, and we simply miss it because we may forget to include the Holy Spirit in the context. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father and the Son. So we'll kind of unpack this as we go along. Many may think of the Holy Spirit as a vague, impersonal force rather than a personal being. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses are one example of such a group. This is what they believe about the Holy Spirit. They say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, it is not part of a Trinity. They say that the Holy Spirit is God's active force that he uses to accomplish his will. And they kind of liken it to something like electricity, a power or a force. But this is not what the scriptures teach. The Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person. Throughout the scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as he. This personal pronoun is used over 20 times referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does things that a person, a being, can do. And we'll dive into scripture here. So if you have your Bibles with me, you can turn with me to John 16:13. So the Holy Spirit speaks and hears. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Then we go to John 15:26. We read, "When the Advocate comes," referring to the Holy Spirit, "whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." The Holy Spirit has a will. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, I have the scriptures up there as well for you to follow along. "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit," capital S, referring to God's Spirit, "who apportions to each one individually as he wills." He teaches, Luke 12:12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." He loves. In Romans 15:30, we read, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." We could keep going on with many more examples, but this is a good example to show that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person, a personal being that acts like a personal being. He doesn't act like a mindless power or like electricity or some impersonal force. Next, let's look at the deity of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So who is God referring to us and our in this passage? Well, this statement goes back to the time of creation, and he's referring to himself as us. And this shows us the plurality of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we read about Jesus' baptism, what happens? Dale knows, he put his hand up. It's awesome that you know. Well, we see the triune God present, right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And here we have a beautiful picture of the Trinity. The Son, Jesus, being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending down from heaven. And we have the voice from the heaven of God the Father. Holy Spirit is called God in Scripture. When we look at Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, we read, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.'" Here we see Peter connects lying to the Holy Spirit as synonymous as lying to God. We see this as well when the Holy Spirit was present and active at creation in Genesis 1, verse 2. "The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." In this passage, the word Spirit of God is used to refer to the Holy Spirit. In other places, the words Spirit of Jesus are used, and this can confuse us. You can easily begin to think that the Holy Spirit is actually the same person existing in the Father and the Son. But the Scriptures clearly teach us a distinction between the persons in the Trinity, the Triune God. Jesus referenced this, as we read before, when he gave the Great Commission, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all distinct persons who are equal members of the one triune God. I know this can feel kind of confusing and beyond our understanding, but that's just it. God is beyond our capability of fully understanding him as mere mortals. He is bigger than, greater than anything that we can comprehend. So we've come to understand through the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a person, a being, not a power or a thing, that he is God, and that he is his own distinct person from the Father and Son, yet existing together as one God. We're beginning to run out of time here, so as we're closing off, I want to look at how we relate to the Holy Spirit. And this is amazing, because the Bible teaches that we are the very temple of God. The temple of God is not this building, this physical church. Yes, we come here to worship, but it's us as God's people. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people.'" Isn't that beautiful? We are the temple of the living God. God lives with us by being in us through the Holy Spirit. He is our God, and we are his people. And he is among us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Here the Scripture says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, that we have received from God. And that our lives have been what? Bought at a price. Bought at a price. What is that price? The precious blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, who shed it upon the cross for our freedom. He paid for the wages of our sin with his death, so that we have been redeemed and set free. And this is how the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Have you heard the term of being born again? Or someone asked you, are you a born again believer? Who's heard that before? Yes, many of us. And this is referring to what? Spiritual rebirth, right? Which happens when the Holy Spirit enters us. Jesus teaches this to us in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, You must be born again. So in theological terms, this is referring to regeneration of the Spirit. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior through the confession of faith and the baptism of water, our sins are washed clean and we receive the gift of salvation by God's grace through faith. God gives us the Holy Spirit, which takes up residence within us and causes a spiritual rebirth in us. And we're born again. And we become a member of God's family. We become a temple of God who dwells in us. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. If that doesn't get you excited, that the very God, the creator of the universe, dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, you better check your pulse. Because that is amazing. That is a miracle. It is a miracle. And this is the beginning of our empowered Christian walk of faith. This begins the sanctification process in us, the changing, the transforming that God does in us, beginning on the inside, in which we are seen on the outside. And we'll get more into this in the coming sermons. I wish we could keep going, but we're running out of time this morning. But understanding the identity of who the Holy Spirit is key to us as Christians. You may ask, why is it important to believe in the deity and the personhood of the Holy Spirit? It's crucial because you cannot give him the honor and the respect and the worship he deserves if you don't understand that and recognize who he is as the divine God, as part of the triune God. Those who believe that the Holy Spirit is comparable to a power or electricity are blaspheming him in reality. And they're serving a God which is different than the God revealed in the Bible. So it's important for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is to be worshipped as we worship the Father and the Son. He is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. So I hope this morning has given you a good understanding of who he is. Next time we'll be looking more into what the Holy Spirit does in our life, how he empowers us to live for God and to fulfill the Great Commission. Are you guys excited about this? We're called to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? So understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates in our lives is important. Why don't we stand together as we close off in prayer? And we probably have one more time to take one more song here at the end afterwards. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are here amongst us, dwelling in us through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we want to just worship you because you are God. And Lord, help us to walk in step with you in our daily lives, to walk in the Spirit, not in our flesh. And Lord, give us a greater understanding of who you are, building up our faith and allowing us to be more and more empowered by you. Help us to give more room in our lives for you. God, you are wonderful. You are awesome. You are powerful. You are majestic. You are holy. And Lord, we thank you that there is nothing that can separate us from you in this world when we put our faith, our trust in you, Jesus. Because you dwell in us, and that is miraculous, that we are made sons and daughters of the living God and temples of the living God. Lord, we bless each other this morning in your mighty name. And we thank you, Lord, that we can continue on this path of faith together, growing in our knowledge and understanding and in our faith in you, Lord. And as we study more and more this month on who the Holy Spirit, what he does in our lives, help us to open up more to you and to build our faith and to be empowered by you in our Christian walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.